Christ's name this evening, talking about old. It's good to see some of y'all here. The only difference is y'all got older too. Brother Joe got older too. It is good to be here from Missouri. I thought I was coming somewhere where it was going to be a little bit warmer. And got here and it's still cold. It was 10 degrees when we left Missouri. But it's still cold here, too. I know they say, you know, you go north and the cold don't feel as cold. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, 0 degrees is 0 degrees, and that's cold. I don't care what anybody says. But it is good to be here to worship with you this weekend. And I do want y'all to realize as I go through these messages, I don't know what y'all are struggling with. But I know y'all got the same evil one trying to tear you down that we have in Missouri. But the great thing is that we both serve the same God. Hallelujah. And that is the great part of it. So as I go through these messages now, I want you to understand that when I sit down and do a message, I say, Lord, pour it on my heart what I need. So don't think I'm just pointing fingers. This is stuff that I need in my heart. This is stuff that we need in Kirksville, Missouri. And I welcome any of y'all. If you ever come through that way, we would love to have you. When I have meetings, I do like to have something for the children. I like to start out something for the children, school children or smaller. And I'm a man that likes nature. I like to hunt and fish, and I like watching nature. So each evening, I don't know if we'll have one Sunday morning, but each evening I'm going to have a creature, children, that you're going to have to guess. I'm going to give you some facts on it, and I want you to guess it. And if you can't guess it, then we'll move to the youth. And if the youth can't guess it, we'll move to the adults. But most of them are pretty simple. I have one here I'm going to read. And then I'm going to read a little story about it. Just try to get your mind. This one might be just a little bit tougher. They live out at the beach. They're black with white breast. They're large, 15 to 20 inches tall. Some live as old as 25 years. When things get heated up, they automatically submit and stop struggling and become motionless. It has the extreme rifle effect of accuracy with its beak. Its beak is like a six-way tool. It can hammer, it can pry, it can snip, it can slice, it can pike, it can probe. It can reach into long cracks or holes and squeeze out even the smallest of edibles. It's like a sewing machine. It runs up and down the beach, probing in the sand. It consumes one half of its body weight each day. Its beak is more powerful than a man's hands. It can easily pry an oyster shell open with its beak. It usually lays 2 to 3 eggs. However, they will quickly desert their own nest for another if it has more eggs. They'll even try to incubate eggs that are way too big for them to even straddle. Now, I'm going to read you this story about it if you haven't figured it out yet. And I don't know if this will help you or not, but it has a point in this story, children, I want you to remember. And even as us as adults. Notice how I read that this bird, sometimes when it gets in a tight spot, it just goes limp. It just gives up. And you'll see in this story what it does. Thunderclouds overshadowed the silent creature as he pointed his scarlet bill into the salty ocean breeze. The tide had just receded, exposing a vast array of shoreline delicacies. Wading into the shadows, the hungry creature feasted on oysters, crabs, and mussels, while other shoreline birds probed the wet sand for worms and crocodiles. But the delicacies there were hidden dangers. After developing all the edible oysters, the creature turned his attention to an abundant supply of limpets. These one-shelled creatures had attached themselves tightly to the rocks with a single pad-like foot. The confident creature expected a little limplet to be relaxed and easy to pry loose with one quick flip of its beak. This was the case well into the afternoon. Gradually, the foamy advances of the tide began to infringe on the busy shoreline. As swelling surf warned the feeding creature to retreat from the shore, he decided there was time to enjoy one more meal. The agile creature spotted a delicious-looking limpet fastened to a sawtooth rock. Assuming that the shellfish would be an easy prey, he jabbed his pointed beak between the limpet and the rock. Arousing by the incoming tide, the limpet had already tightened its grip on the reef. The creature tried in vain to pry the limpet loose, and when he attempted to withdraw his beak, he discovered he was trapped. The frightened creature frantically attempted to free himself from the limpet's vice-like grip. Meanwhile, the surging tide began to lap against the rocks where the bird was hopelessly caught. The struggles of the bird only caused the limpet to increase its hold. Soon, powerful waves broke in along the shore and splashed over the creature. Suddenly, the pinned creature stopped struggling. He folded his wings and just stood still. The limpet responded by loosening its grip for a moment. In that instant, the creature yanked his bill free and flew to safety. Only by surrounding his struggle for freedom was he able to experience it. Now, it doesn't matter, children, if you guess wrong, because they say sometimes when you're wrong, you don't forget it. So if you're wrong when you guess, that's fine. Do we have any bold children here that I guess what they think it might be? I give you, it's a bird, you know that. Nope, it's a good guess. Any more? This one's probably a little bit harder than most of them I have. Okay? Want to try? Nope, it's a good guess. I'm going to give you a little hint. We have them out here at the coast, not too far from you. I think we do. I'm pretty sure we do. Maybe we'll open it up to the youth or even the adults. Any idea what it is? Maybe it's a little too hard. I wish I had some more hints, but I don't, because I don't know enough about this bird myself. I know I've never ate one. There's a lot of things I've ate. I'll give it away. It's the oyster catcher. And I liked how this bird, you know, so many times in life we think we got to struggle things through things. And if we would just relax and let Christ have his way in our life, we would go so much farther. Well, in y'all's pamphlet, y'all had about the holiness of God. And my message this evening is a little bit on the holiness of God. But I'm going to look at it a little bit different twist maybe than what you would think of when you think about the holiness of God. I'm going to look at it this evening in the holiness of God, the new creature. Joshua told the people, he said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses nor your sins." Why did Joshua say that? He was challenging the people. You know, God is not going to forgive your sins unless you repent and unless you live a holy and righteous life for Him. I love a verse in Isaiah 5 verse 16. It says, "The holy God shows himself holy in righteousness." You must be righteous if you want to see the holiness of God work in your life. So I'm going to look into it this evening a little bit at, you know, we as a new creature, we show the holiness of God by living a righteous life. It shows His holiness to other people. And God loves to show His holiness through His people. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read two verses here starting out. And they're very familiar verses. I don't feel like I have anything new for y'all this weekend. But if you're like me, I need to be renewed every day. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17. Wherefore henceforth know ye no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Does that make you excited this morning, this evening? Are you excited that the Lord can make you a new creature? He can take away the old things and make you new. And I hope that is each one of our experiences here tonight. You know, when the old thing is gone, it ain't a one-time thing. It's an everyday experience. Paul said, I die daily. That means he had to work on it every day. And so do we. I want to look at some of the Old Testament. And we're going to look at Old Testament character this evening. But you know, when you put on this new creature, you have a change. It ain't going to just be your dress. It ain't going to be your suit coat. It's going to be from the deep chambers of your heart. It's going to be what motivates you to walk a holy life. And that's what God is calling us to every day. Turn to Numbers 22. This is the character I want to read about. Numbers 22. And I'm going to jump around a little bit in this text. I say jump around. I said that my last message up at church. I told him I was going to jump around a little bit in this text. And one of the minister's wives came to me later and said, we didn't see you jumping around. I said, what? She said, we didn't see you jumping around. I said, oh, you know I didn't mean it that way. So you probably ain't going to see me that way tonight. But I want to start out here in chapter 22, verse 6. This is talking about Balaam. Now, I know you know the story good about Balaam, but this is when, you know, Balak hired Balaam to come curse Israel because he knew Israel was going to overpower them. There was too many for him. And he was scared of them, and he hired Balaam. We're going to pull some points out of this of Balaam and about the new creature. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we might smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and him whom thou cursed is cursed. You know, that verse right there showed me something. It showed me what was in Balaam's heart. Because God is not in the business of cursing people, and he has never been in the business of cursing people. God is a holy God, he's a righteous God, and it's his desire that every man be saved. That is not cursing somebody. That shows me Balaam's heart right there. Let's read on. Let's go to verse 8. Same chapter, verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what are these men with thee? Now I want you to notice he said, God came to Balaam. Just keep that in your mind. Let's read on some more. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me then, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And the Lord said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak, son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto the very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam said, And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. I want you to notice that too. He said, the Lord my God. That is, he was claiming his God to be our God, to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Stop right there just for a minute. I don't see to me well let's read on some more let's just keep on reading first And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If these men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall speak unto thee thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. There's a point here. It says, if the man call thee, in verse 20, if the man call thee, rise up and go with him. And what does it say in verse 21? And Balaam rose up in the morning. You could say that's a little thing, but listen to me. That is disobedience. He did not wait till the men came and called him. He rose up and went because his heart was set on doing what he wanted to do. Read on some more. Let's go to 22. Keep on. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he's riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned sideways, aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn it back in the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand nor to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou smitest me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? And was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Stop right there for a little bit. How did it look to these princes? They were probably the most honorable princes that Balak had. How did it look to these princes? He was supposed to be a man of God. He looked like a man of God. And he was supposed to be a man of God. And he's beating his donkey. He can't even control his donkey. Can you imagine? What do you think Balaam thought? I think it cut Balaam right to the heart. It cut Balaam to his pride. He could not stand having them princes looking at him. And the prince's eyes probably got big. And they said, we've never seen a man of God do this before. And we ain't never seen a donkey talk before. And it didn't even wake up Balaam. He's sitting there beating his donkey and the donkey's talking to him and it don't wake him up. Brothers and sisters, what does it take for you and me to wake us up sometimes? Think about it. Children, I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, I was mean sometimes to animals. What would you have done if you pulled that dog's tail and he turned around and talked to you? Yeah, I bet you'd be shocked. I bet you wouldn't be beating it with a staff. You say, ho, what's going on here? It'd wake you up. But Balaam was so angry and so mad, it didn't even wake him up. I think if it was me and I was beating that donkey, you know, sometimes I've probably been in the same situation as Balaam. But I'd like to think that if the donkey talked to me, I'd say, donkey, get me back to the house as quick as you can go. Because I tell you, it seemed like that donkey was understanding English pretty good about then. Well, I guess it wasn't English. I'm not sure what language Balak and Balaam had back then. But he was understanding it. Let's read on. Verse 32. Let's go to 32. Start there. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Now, see that? Perverse before me. That showed Balaam's heart right there. He was bound to do wrong. But brothers and sisters, he looked like a man of God. People thought he was a man of God. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, lest she had turned from me. Now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And there's another sign right there. I just reading this and studying this, it's hard to believe. If it displeased thee. What did God say? God said it in plain enough language, excuse me, that a five-year-old would understand it. You don't do it. And he says, if it displeased thee. Have you ever done that in your life? You know what the Word of God says. But yet I like to do it my way. Well, we're going to jump to chapter 23. Well, we'll read verse 41 first, and then we're going to jump to 23, verse 2. Verse 41, and it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And Balak, well, let's read one. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven oxen, seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. Do you see where Balaam went? Do you see where Balak took him? It says he took him to the hill of Baal. Whose God was Baal? It wasn't our God. He had enough of sense, I believe, not to offer a sacrifice on Baal's altar, but he took him to the hill of Baal and he built seven altars. The hill of Baal was a heathen's worship place. You cannot mix our worship with the heathen. It doesn't work. That is not what God says. God's a holy God, a righteous God. You're not going to mix the heathen religion with God. Brothers and sisters, do I sometimes get too close to the world? I'm telling you. Does sin hit you like it should? We get too used to the world, and pretty soon we're sticking one foot in the world, one foot in the church, or one foot in religion, if you will. Does it shock you to see sin anymore? It works on me. Well, we see in this text that every time Balaam tried to bless the people, and he'd done it three times, God put words in his mouth. He tried to curse the people, I'm sorry. And God put words in his mouth, and he blessed the people, it says. I want you to go to chapter 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as other times, to seek for enchantments. Enchantments are not of God. But he set his face towards the wilderness. He didn't even want to go see the people of God anymore because he knew God was not going to let him curse them. And that's not what Balaam wanted to do. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And it says he smote his hands together. Why? You know, I wondered, why did God put that little detail in there? He smote his hands together. You know, I believe that Balak was so angry and so mad that if he wanted to really get a hold of Balaam and he wanted to kill him. He probably wanted to tear his head off. But he was scared to. Why? Because he was dressed like a man of God. And Balak was scared to touch him. That's why I believe. He was scared of him. He was scared he could curse him. But yet he thought he was a man of God. And he looked like a man of God. Go to verse 25. Same chapter. Chapter 24, verse 25. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Interesting, ain't it? You know, he couldn't curse the people. Balak was angry at him, so he's going to go his way now. And it looks all good, don't it? It looks like it all ends right there. Balaam went home. Balak went home. Go with me to chapter 31. I want to read verse 16 first. Then I'm going to back up to verse 8. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit a trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peru, and there a plague among the congregation of the people. It didn't end, did it? Verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian. This was the second time they went to war. They slew the kings of Midian because they had failed. Look at the last part of it. There was five kings that were slew. Look at the last part of that verse. Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. What was Balaam doing with the heathen when he was killed? Why wasn't Balaam with the children of God? He looked like he was supposed to be a man of God. Why wasn't he with the people of God? There was something going on behind the scenes that Balaam was telling Balak that got the children of Israel to fail. I found it interesting. Balaam is mentioned 10 times in the Bible after this account. Twice in Deuteronomy. 3 times in Joshua. Once in Nehemiah. Once in Micah. Once in 1 Peter. And I'm going to read you that verse. It says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the way of the world. Once in Jude, and it says it like this, "Woe unto them." It puts him in this verse with Cain and Kor. It lists Balaam with Cain and Kor. You know what Cain did. He lived an unrighteous life and slew his brother that was living a righteous life. What did Kor do? Kor stood up against God's chosen. He stood up against Moses. And God brought judgment on him. It's serious. He stood against God's chosen people. And God brought judgment on him. And then I found it was interesting that he's mentioned in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, 2 verse 14. And I'm going to read that verse to you. Revelation 2, verse 14. "But I have a few things against thee." Well, let's back up a minute. What is this? Verse 12. Jesus is talking to a church. "To the angel of the church of Pergamos, write." "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." The church of Pergamos, a stumbling block. What is a stumbling block? When I make somebody fail, when I hinder their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a stumbling block. If I hinder somebody from the Lord, I'm a stumbling block. That's serious. That's what the church of Pergamos was doing. Who were the people of Pergamos? It was you. It was me. It was people like me and you that knew the truth. They knew the Word of God. They looked good. They talked good. They acted good, but they did not know God. Do you know God? Does God know you? We read in our verse, the very first verse, if God knows you, you are a new creature. You know the holiness of God. I'm going to give you an illustration. There was a man that was not born again. He wakes up in the morning. He has a lot on him. He has trucks that have broke down. He has workers calling sick. He's running late. He's not getting done what he should get done. And he walks out the house and he's in a hurry. And he's headed to the job because he got fellas waiting for him at the job. And as he walks out the door, his wife opens the door and she says, "Hon, could you please fix the mower today? The grass is tall and the mower needs fixed." And he's had all he can have on him.
And he turns around and he says, "What is wrong with you? Don't you understand what I have to do today? No, I can't fix that mower today." And he gets in his truck and he drives to the job and he feels justified. 2 months later, he's a converted man. The Lord Jesus Christ has got a hold of him and he is converted for real. If he doesn't have his devotions in the morning, he is sick. He can't sleep. If he don't have his prayers, he can't sleep. He is a born-again Christian. He knows what it's like to walk in the holiness of God. And he gets up the next morning and he goes out the door again. And the same scenario happens. He's heavy. He's weighted down. Everything's on him. Things ain't going right again that day. And he walks out the door and his wife opens the door and says, "Hon, could you please fix the car today? We need the car." And he turns around. He says, "What is the matter with you? Don't you understand? I've got too much to do today. No, I can't fix the car." And he gets in his truck and he heads to the job. But the minute he leaves, it's like somebody took a sword, stuck it in his heart and turned it. And he can't take it no more. He's feeling sick. He feels terrible. And he goes to the job. And he's crying. He's like, "What have I done? Lord, I done failed you." And he gets out of his truck and his fellows are standing in a circle. And he says, "Fellows, wait 1 minute. I got something I got to do." And he goes back and he gets in his truck. And he calls his wife and he begs for forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, that is the new creature. You will fail. But I'm telling you, when you fail, does it smite you to the heart? Does it tear you up? Because I'm telling you, if it don't bother you when you don't tell the truth, or when you do something that ain't right, it's a sin. You do not know God. And God does not know you. You better repent, because that is not the new creature. That's what my Bible says. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I know I get worked up, and I apologize sometimes I get so worked up, but this is the Word of God, and people are going to hell because they don't understand that the Word of God is what's going to stand to the end of judgment, and that is what you're going to be judged by. Brothers and sisters, if your heart ain't right, you better get into Scripture. You better repent, because you might not have tomorrow. Do you have a relationship with God? I'm telling you, if you got a relationship with God, you got a relationship with your brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says. If you can't have a relationship with your brothers and sisters, you do not know God. And you need Him. Is your life marked by the Word of God? Is your worship marked by the Word of God? Well, are you playing Christian? Do you look like Balaam? Do you look good? Can you talk good? Are you playing church? Do you have that desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just what you have to do to make others think so? Do you enjoy coming to a service? Or do you like to look at the clock and say, "I can't wait to get home to eat ice cream"? Or do you enjoy the Word of God? Yes, we have times. I have times to struggle. And I'll be honest. When I get done preaching, sometimes pray for me. Because I do struggle sometimes. It's the work of the devil. But when we have them times, that's when we discipline ourselves. Just like that man that failed with his wife. We discipline ourselves and get in the Word of God.
does God govern your life? Is it a love? Or is it just rule making? If it's just rule making, just what are you? And what do you have? Have I grown pathetic in my Christian walk with the Lord? How serious do I take the Word of God? You know, we study the Scripture every day. We all have a Bible. At least I hope you do. I hope you study it every day. But here's the bad part about us humans. When we get the best over and over again, pretty soon it becomes commonplace. That's a struggle I think every human has. Let's never let the Word of God become commonplace. What proves you are a genuine Christian? Who are you imitating? Brothers and sisters, can I come to you and say, can I have your phone? Can I have your tablet? Can I have your computer? Will you say, brother, here it is, take it. This is me. This is me. Because that is you. What have you been watching? What have you been texting? What have you been saying? If everything was recorded, could you let a brother or sister follow you around for a month? When he got done with that month, or when he got done looking at your phone, would he say, you're a Balaam? You're a Pergamos. God don't want Balaams, and God don't want Pergamoses. He wants a holy, peculiar people. And that's what you called to be. I heard a while back an illustration. A king, he was going to go on a long journey. And it needed to put a man in charge. Let's put you in there. He put you in charge of his queen. And he said, this is what I want you to do with my queen. And he spelled it all out, exactly what he wanted. He went on his journey. And he stayed a long time. The people were loyal to the king and the queen. But after the king was gone a long time, they started losing their loyalty to the king. You say, what am I going to do? So you take that queen. She's old-fashioned. That's why the people are losing the loyalty. She's old-fashioned. You dress her modern, parade her in front of carnal men. What is the king going to do to you when he comes back? He will kill you because of what you did to his queen. He will kill you. Brothers and sisters, that might be a crude illustration, but I'm telling you, who is the bride of Christ? It's the church. Christ is not coming back for a modern church. He don't want a church that looks like the world. He don't want a church that is 5 years behind the world. He wants a holy church. And who makes the church? You make the church. I make the church. If I'm not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ with a pure life, the church ain't pure. It's serious. What is Christ going to do when he comes back? I'm telling you. He don't want a modern church. Hold on to what you got, brothers and sisters. As the world gets more evil, there should be more of a separation between us and the world. Think about it.
The Bible says the world is going to get worse and worse. Are we staying right with the world? Or are we getting apart from the world? It's something I need to work on.
Christ wants a faithful church. Are you faithful? Do you remember what you used to be before you became a new creature? Does God's Spirit lead you in your worship? If you came here tonight and you had carnal thoughts on your mind, and you leave here tonight and you have carnal thoughts on your mind, you need to repent. You're not a new creature. God wants to purify your heart. Do you let Him? Does He lead you into greater worship? God wants to take you farther. Do you let Him? He will not be able to take you farther. He will not be able to take you deeper in the relationship with Him when you're mingling with the world. Do you love to spend time alone with God? Brothers and sisters, if you're serving the Lord with all your heart, then press on. Keep on. This life is short. I'm becoming an old man quick. Keep pressing on. It will be worth it. Rejoice with the Lord. Rejoice when you have a victory. Rejoice in your worship. Everything you do, worship God. Take God's word and let it absorb in your heart like rain in a desert. Absorb it in your life like going in the rainforest on a hot day. Soak it up. Love the ways of God. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. If there's somebody here that has grown pathetic with your walk with the Lord, and you're having struggles of getting victory, brothers and sisters, that's why we're here for each other. We will get you some help. Because it is important that you are right with the Lord. Maybe you've never became a Christian and you want to become a Christian. We're going to sing a verse of song and you stand to your feet until you're seen. And we'll get you help. And I love what I heard about. I don't know where I read it. But so many times we as Christians, we always think about what is somebody going to think about me if I confess a sin. Well, I'm telling you something. The new creature, the born again creatures, that's us. We rejoice when somebody comes forward that has failed. We rejoice because He's made His life right. We don't look at Him like He's a terrible person. We rejoice. So we're going to sing a verse of song. And if there's somebody here that wants to get right with the Lord, I want to give that opportunity. What will it be? I hope all is well in your hearts. Because that is how we can walk close to God. I ask your prayers as we come together again tomorrow night. Seek your prayers very much. And appreciate y'all being so attentive tonight. Shall we stand and I'll dismiss us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your holiness. Lord, we thank you for this congregation here, Lord. And as they're serving you, Lord, pray that you would continue to bless them. Lord, guide and direct them and draw them closer to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent the Holy Ghost. We thank you that you have sent your Son, that we can be pardoned from our sins, Lord, and we can spend eternity with you, and we can have that holiness of you in our life, Lord. Pray that you lead and guide and direct as each one goes home and give them safe travel, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.